Hello and welcome, everybody. You're live on the Sudden Eye Impact Show. I'm your host, Lee, coming to you from the DFW Metroplex. On the show, we discuss a variety of topics such as, but not limited to, personal responsibility, accountability, goal setting, goal attainment, relationships, creative vision, innovation, financial acumen, the power of belief, the power of thought, the power of words, belief systems, support systems, the power of partnership, service, creativity, entrepreneurship, consciousness, awareness, and being the observer. On the show, our mission, purpose, and intention is to discuss simple, basic, fundamental ways to help everyday people experience more fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, enjoyment, health, and overall peace through utilizing your own latent resources that lie dormant within you. The show is spiritual, inspirational, and motivational, expressing powerful content that anyone can take and apply to any area of their life to change their life for the better or to change their life for the best. Today, we're going to have one guest, and he's no stranger to the show. So after the introduction, the next voice that you hear will be my guest, Jarren Banks. Jarren Banks is a transformational coach, ordained minister, technology consultant, entrepreneur, storyteller, and dream traveler. He believes dreams can and will come true with the application of the right knowledge, personal commitment, and your own unique abilities. Jarren has designed his life where he's earning a living doing what he loves and is committed to helping individuals earn a living doing what they enjoy. He helps you stop delaying your dreams and reminds you to live your life on your own terms. Jarren has integrated his 25 years of mentoring and coaching individual clients and business teams into a proven success system. Dream Power Academy and Spiritual Athletics are his companies where he has a big goal of helping 1 billion people do what they love to do. With no further ado, we have Jarren Banks. Hey, Jarren.
Hey, Dwight. How's it
going? How you doing?
Hey, I'm
we
doing
got a
good.
Special show. Go ahead. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, I just said I'm doing great. I'm blessed, grateful to be here, and like to say hello to everyone out there that's listening to us, and again, just grateful to be here.
Wow, thank you for joining the show today. He's going to teach a master's class, and we're going to open it up with a Q&A session, so I'm going to ask him a few questions, and then he will teach a master class the remaining of the show. So I'm going to start with the first question. Jarren, what are your personal beliefs?
That's a good question. You know, when I hear the word beliefs, I always go back to a mentor and coach of mine who I trained under. He taught me a lot about conscious language. And I always say that beliefs are what you're alive in. It's what you're being alive in, right? It's what you're putting your energy into. So my personal beliefs, or what I focus my thought energy into, is knowing that I have the ability to do anything I choose to do. Also knowing that everyone else in this world has the same ability. Also, another belief of mine is there's a grand design to myself, the world, nature, the universe. Some higher form of intelligence created all of this, so there's a design here, and I love looking and observing at everything that's set up here. It's just a magnificent interplay of so many different things if you sit back and just watch. And I truly believe that I came from somewhere before I got here, and that I will also be going somewhere after my time on the earth. And those beliefs serve me really well. I think quite a few people can get caught up a lot of times in the fear, you know, the fear of death or what's going to happen. And so I really share with people that I create my own beliefs that serve me. So, you know, that's where I would start with that question.
Thank you. Well stated. Question number two. Do you have concrete reasons for your beliefs?
Yes, I do. And I thought about this question, and I thought about it in the past. You know, when I was younger, as a young kid and then young man, and also going, in high school here in the United States, and then going to college, I realized a lot of my reasons for my beliefs were based off of information that someone else told me, right? My family, my society, cultural rules or things that people say you're supposed to do, books. But I would say here in the past few years, and also going back into my past, a lot of my reasons for my beliefs are based off results. So literally looking at my past and saying, hey, I remember when I was in this situation and I was in a lot of pain, or I was suffering, or I didn't have enough money, or it was a trying time for me. And I remember thinking, hey, I'm going to make it through this, and I'm going to eventually be in a better situation. And then now looking back and saying, oh, that actually happened. I actually focused my mind on what I wanted, what my dream was, and I was actually able to transform my life. So the reasons for a lot of my beliefs are based off the fact that I've actually tested these beliefs and I've seen the results, right? So it's like I'm my own researcher, my own scientist. The same thing I say to a lot of my clients. Like, you can test out your beliefs and they will show you your results. And if you don't like your results, you can actually change your beliefs. So that's what I would say. I do have firm reasons for my beliefs, and those are now based off pure experience, and results in my life.
Wow, thank you. The third question, why is having a goal important?
A goal is important, and I like to keep it really simple and fun. You know, to me, a goal is important because it gives you a map. And, if you imagine going somewhere, now whenever we travel somewhere, even if you're in your own city or even if you're traveling overseas, which I know many of us are not doing right now, but even if you're on the plane, you'll see where the plane's taking off, and then you'll see where you're going to land, and it shows you the trajectory, right? Or you have your ticket, you know, hey, I'm flying from Houston, Texas to Madrid, Spain. You know where you are, and you know where you're going. So to me, a goal is important because a goal gives you a direction of where you're going. So now you can direct your energy, your thoughts, your actions, your emotions, how you communicate to people, right? Like, if you want people to help you, a lot of times what people will say, sometimes if you go to, a restaurant or some place for customer service, right, they'll always say, sir or ma'am, how can I help you? Right? They're asking you for directions of how they can help you. And you'll tell them, oh, well, where's the bathroom? Or can you help me get a room? Right? You're giving them directions of what you're trying to achieve. So those are very small examples, but a big example would be, I want a new home. I want to get a new job. I want to improve my health. I want to get a new car. I want to travel to another country. That's your goal. Once you have that goal set, you now have a map. And if you get off course, that's how you know if you're off course. You're like, oh, wow. I just spent the whole day thinking about all these other things, and none of these things were related to my goal. And so you know, okay, I was off track. I need to change some of my actions to allow me to get to the goal that I want to achieve. So a goal is very important because simply, I feel and believe it gives you direction. You know where you're going, and everyone needs a map, right, when you're taking this journey through life.
Thank you. Well stated. We're really blessed audience. How much of your potential are you expressing, John?
First, I would say I don't even know what I don't even know if I can even measure what my full potential is. I don't even know if it's measurable, right? Myself or anyone else. I think we're infinitely capable of expansion and growth. But I would say personally now, you know, in my life, on a day-to-day basis, I still feel like I'm only expressing 5 to 10%. Like, it's just so much more that I can do. You know, it's just so much more potential I have, so much more impact I can add to the world, to my community, for myself. And I really think that type of thought or belief is positive, right? It keeps me in the mindset of growing. Like, I'm never getting to the point where I feel I've made it somewhere. You know, like, I know a mentor of both you and I, Bob Proctor, always says, you know, once you realize that there's nowhere to get to, there's no special place you're going to finally make it to. You're always growing. You're always expanding. So that's how I would express my answer to that question. I think my potential is infinite, and there's just so much more for me to do and grow each day. So I'm going to keep that humble approach to myself. I think that will allow me to continue to learn and grow from everyone in my life that I see, and be able to offer more each day.
Thank you. Impactful wisdom. Question number 5. In your observation, John, what is the highest function that a man is capable of?
You know, you can look at that a couple of different ways. When I first read that question, I think the highest function is to create. That is to create something. It doesn't necessarily have to be something new. You know, sometimes you can take something that's already existing and express it in a new way. But you could also create something that's never been seen before on the earth. And I know if we go scripturally, right, we've always heard, especially if you look at the Bible or look at it from a Christian perspective, you'll always hear about, well, God was made, and, you know, God made us in his image or her image. And God is the creator, right? God, or the universe, some people would use that term. There's constant creation going on. So we do have the ability to create, right? And so I think that's one of our highest functions. But I also think deeper, it's almost like that's more of a mental space, right, a thinking space, but I also think from a heart space. And I also say one of our highest functions, or one of our natural states, is also love, right? And I believe love is something that we are still understanding, meaning I think for a human being to say they completely understand what love is, we're just getting started. You know, like, it's, I think the attraction to someone else, taking care of someone else, feeling compassion or feeling a strong connection with someone else is kind of just the tip of the iceberg of what love really is. I've had several meditations and dreams, and I've seen that love is actually kind of what keeps the universe together. Like, it's actually an energetic form. So those are the two things that come to mind when I think about what our highest functions are as human beings. I would say creating, and also love, right? Love for ourselves, love for each other, love for nature or the universe as well.
Nicely stated. Question number 6. John, what is your way of viewing reality?
My way of viewing reality has shifted quite a bit over the last few years. I would say the way I view reality consciously, like, I consciously every day focus on viewing reality through a lens of fun, ease, right? I choose to make this fun and easy. That's an affirmation that I'll talk about later. But having fun and also looking at reality through the eyes of a child, right? I just always try to remind myself to look at life through the eyes of a child, or, you know, remembering when I was young. And sometimes I just watch children and they remind me. To me, children are the greatest teachers. Like, you watch them, and they're just going after everything, constantly growing, listening, paying attention. They get emotional, and they're fully in the moment. Then they drop it the next moment. Like one moment they're crying, next moment they're laughing. Like they just don't hold on to things, you know. And so that view of reality, I believe, has served me a lot here recently, and it's also served me physically. Like, I feel my body just becoming more flexible and younger. Like, I believe, you know, the way you think can really influence your health and how we age and how we actually operate. So that's my view. I'd say a childlike view.
Well stated. Question number 7. Jarn, what is your self-image? Please elaborate on it in detail.
Yeah, the self-image is a constant project or a constant thing that I'm working on. I think one area that I've really focused on these last couple of months it's almost like there's layers of an onion, or there's deeper layers that you start to pull up. And this, you know, I've realized that in the past I've had a lot of concern about what other people thought of me, right? Of what other people would say. And that can get really deep, you know. You can get into family, friends, coworkers, clients, you know, just society in general. So I've really shaped my self-image to really base it off, you know, where I would like to be, who I want to be as a human being, as a brother, as a uncle, as a godfather, as a person in the community, as a leader, and really shaped those thoughts and those ideas, and really start to create a story, like write a script out of my life, you know. And some of the things that I can say in detail, some of the words that I use a lot, one thing that I say a lot is, you know, I am fully supported and I am fully loved. And that's an affirmation and part of my self-image that I carry with me when I go places a lot, you know, because sometimes you'll meet people or there'll be an external view that a person's not going to help you, or they're actually your enemy, or they're against you. And I just push those thoughts out the way and really build it from the inside out, right? The self-image that people are here to help me. The universe is in my favor. You know, everything is in my favor. Everything is set up for me to win. Any challenges I have, I'll always be able to maneuver through that challenge. I'll always recover from any sickness or dis-ease. I'm fully abundant. I'll always have what I require when I require it, right? So these are some of the statements and items that you can tell are naturally within me. But I work on that every week. Like, I go back and look at what I have written, and I listen to things, and I say things in the mirror, and I also repeat things to other people. And that really sets in a lot of power around the self-image. The self-image is one of the key areas that we all can work on. How you view yourself is really going to impact how other people view you. So I take that to be something I'm constantly working on.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Question number 8. Jarn, what is your passion?
My passion simply is to help other people accomplish their dreams. And that's my dream. And I've had an image or a view. If I could show it on a video or draw a picture, maybe I can get an artist to show it. Since I was a kid, I've always had this image of seeing all of my brothers and sisters around the world just laughing, smiling, and partying together. Like, we're all just celebrating us, right? And it's one thing for me to think about myself being successful, and there's things that I'd like to accomplish. You know, there's material things that I'd like to get. I'd like to help out my family and be able to go places and travel and accomplish my dreams. But it just doesn't seem worthwhile unless everyone else can do the same around me. You know, that is what my vision is. That is what really the companies that I've created and the motion and growth that I'm taking is, you know, if we can help each other accomplish and do what we love to do, imagine how that starts to shift our communities and our world, right? I really racked my brain on that for so many years because I was troubled with so many things I've seen. And I said, what's the core? What's the core thing that I kept coming to was if a person loves what they do and loves their life, like, I just don't, someone can come prove me wrong, but I just don't see a person going out and doing something to another person violently or wanting to go to war or wanting to cheat someone else or anything else if they love what they do and love themselves. So that's really my passion and what my main focus is and kind of my trajectory in this life.
Wow. Our ninth and final question. John, what would your life look like if you had no limits and no restrictions?
You know, I'll answer that question in a couple of ways. First, I would say my life would look how it looks now. And I'll say that because I actually have no restrictions or limits. Now, I'll take a step back and say, but have I maybe made up my own limits or restrictions, or do I perceive limits or restrictions? Yes, definitely. I mean, there's things every day, you know, where I have an idea and, you know, there's a little voice in my mind. It's like, you can't do that, you know, or you can't go do that. You know, the police are going to come after you, or, you know, the government wouldn't let you do that, or you can't travel there. You have to have a passport. I mean, we have these ideas of these limits, and some of them appear to be real, and they maybe are real. And so I think I'm always testing those limits myself, and I'm still growing and moving through those. And I also think some of the limits and restrictions, I think we need to also remind ourselves that we set up to actually protect ourselves, right? It's just like a child at a certain age. There's certain things a child, you don't allow them to have access to because they're not aware yet of how to use those abilities, if that makes sense to everyone. So I think there's certain limitations that maybe at a higher level, I know Dwight and I talk about our higher selves, that maybe my higher self, or I've heard people say guardian angels, or there's something looking out for us, is maybe limiting me in certain areas because I'm not quite ready for that next level. So I think truly, overall, we don't have any limits or restrictions, but I think there are some limits that are healthy for us, and there are some limits or restrictions that are not healthy for us. And it's up to us to kind of start to determine what those are. So that's how I'll answer that question.
Well stated. Now, I'm ready for the food for thought, the master class.
Okay, well, thank you, Dwight. Those questions, I enjoyed answering the questions. Really made me think about some things in my own life, and anyone listening to this show, you know, I just want to send out thanks and gratitude to you as well for allowing me just to be able to speak and answer those questions. A lot of times, just being able to talk through something adds a whole nother layer of understanding and power. And I always say, the questions we ask are really going to lead us to powerful transformations in our world. You know, sometimes we're looking for answers, but I always say, the question is really where the key is. You know, the questions that we ask can open up so much. You know, you've heard the statement, seek and you shall find. That seeking is the question. And so I just want to say thank you first. I like to always say thank you for our existence, for Dwight inviting me to the show, for all the people behind the scenes that allow for this technology to come together and for us to hear and listen to each other globally, and also give gratitude for being alive, for having the ability to maintain made myself create and grow and hopefully connect with people, my brothers and sisters all throughout the world, and connect with you listeners if you choose to connect with me or Dwight in the future. I like to always start out with that energetic frequency or tone to really get us into the space. And the reason I start with that is, as Dwight mentioned, I told him before he asked me about doing this show, I said, you know, I'm going to do a master class, and I really want to do a class on some of the day-to-day operations that I've done in my life that I've seen success from, but also things that I've heard from others who have been very successful, and I've taken their examples, and I've kind of molded them for myself. So as you hear me say certain things as I go through today, always remember these things are free for your own interpretation, for your own unique abilities and the way you want to change. Nothing has to be static or be exactly a certain way, but really think about the essence of what I'm telling you, and then you can come up with your own way of doing it and operating. And so every morning, I give thanks and I go through a gratitude exercise. I actually have a gratitude journal where I write down 10 things that I'm grateful for. And to me, that really kind of starts to prime me for the day. You know, some mornings I wake up, you know, I have to be honest. Some days you wake up and just don't feel good, or you know, there's just things going on in the world and you're like, you know, I just want to stay in bed. Or everybody has those types of days. And there's other days where I jump up and I'm ready to just to go at it. That's how it was this morning. I was excited about doing this show, but I still write out my gratitude. And then I sit and I meditate. Sometimes it may be just for 5 minutes. Sometimes it may be for longer, 30 minutes or to an hour. But I usually really just, me personally, I sit in a space of really allowing and just accepting ideas and thoughts to come to me. And I really tune in to the level of communicating with my creator or with the universe, right? So it's like I've heard people say conversations with God, or I was talking to God, or prayer, right? You hear about prayer. All these different types of words or categorizations is kind of what I'm talking about there, right? So that allows you to kind of work with it in your own way. But I'm allowing an eternal essence or something that's larger than my day-to-day life to come in and kind of give me guidance. And usually I intuitively get some type of message for the day. Sometimes it's very simple. Sometimes I get a message that just says, hey, love yourself, or have fun. Sometimes I get an image of someone, or it reminds me of a person that I haven't talked to, and I'll call that person, and always that person tells me, I was just thinking about you today, you know, or, wow, your timing is perfect. Like, I needed to hear from you today, you know. So I like to say that because I'm going to get into our intuition here in a little bit, but the intuition is one of our most powerful capabilities. Or like I like to say, if we look at a lot of the movies that we see today with superheroes, that's one of our superpowers that we all have, is the intuition. And the more we can get in contact with that intuition, that heart space, that gut feel, you can really go places in your life and really connect to things and make quantum leaps very quickly. So those are the first two things that I usually start my day out with. And the reason why, that sets your tone for the rest of the day. And a lot of the things that I talk about with my clients, some of the programs that I have, and really the whole premise of why I created my first company, Dream Power Academy, that really came about because as a young kid, all the way into my 30s, I would have night terrors, nightmares every night, just consistently. I mean, it got to the point when I was young that I didn't even want to go to sleep. When I had girlfriends, I would want them to stay with me all the time, right? Just because I was able to sleep when someone was around. It was so many things that I did to try to make it through the night. Like, sleeping was such a difficult time for me. and I'm paraphrasing a lot. We could probably do a whole other show on dreams and how that really impacted my life. But I want to talk to two key points here quickly. Is later on I realized that was actually a gift. That was something was trying to get my attention, and I wasn't paying attention, and it was coming through my dreams in the form of nightmares and terrors. And eventually I was able to transform that and start to extract the messages that I was getting in my, what I call my nighttime travels. And this really, though, corresponds to what I call our level of awareness. So if you imagine that we all have these elaborate mansions with multiple rooms. Let's say you have a mansion with 45 rooms. Huge estate, right, with mazes and pools and basketball courts and horses. And this huge estate. And all this time up to now in our lives, we've just been living in the front room where you first come into the home. We've been in that space the whole time, just living there. We have access to all these other rooms, and we're not even aware of them. That, to me, is how I describe awareness. And the ability to start to expand your awareness is actually you start to go into the other rooms. In the other rooms, the lights aren't turned on, right? Sometimes you have to go in there with a flashlight to find the light switch, and you click it on. And as soon as you click it on, you're aware of this whole other space. And there's beautiful paintings and couches. And there's things that you forgot about that are there. You're like, oh, I forgot about that toy I had when I was a kid. Or I forgot that memory when I was with my mother or my brother, right? And these things continually expand. And this can be your own internal awareness, which is where I really like the dream space for that. You can learn a lot about yourself from the dreams. You can also learn a lot about yourself through your own emotions and talking to other people, having a coach or accountability partner or a mastermind group. You start to expand your awareness. You can also expand your awareness through the exponential growth of bringing two people together, right? So two people come together, now you have two brains. Now you have two ultimate computers that are running together. You bring a third person together, now you have three people. And so your exponential ability to think through thoughts or be imaginative or come up with ideas, it just expands as you get with other people. That's the power of a mastermind. And this awareness, some people will talk about the conscious and the subconscious. I tend to lean away from that language because that I think a lot of our lives, especially in the Western world, has been compartmentalized, right? It's like, oh, this is that section of the body, and this is that section, and this is this group, and these are these groups. I really like to look at things as a holistic approach. So when someone says subconscious, I don't necessarily say I don't believe that, but I just believe that we can continually expand our awareness to where eventually we're aware of every aspect of ourselves. That maybe could take lifetimes, and whatever you believe, you know, through lifetimes of different generations, if there is a possibility of people coming back again for another life in a different form, however you want to look at that. But I always say that awareness is going to allow us to expand and know more about ourselves internally and who we are, which is the most important, which is what I focus on with most of these shows that I come on and also with people I work with. But also you can start to become more aware of our external environments, right? Just becoming aware of what it takes to purchase a home, what the requirements are to receive a mortgage, what the steps are to get in shape, becoming more aware about how to draw or be an artist or anything that you want to do, you can go out and learn those capabilities. So just keep in mind awareness. How can you expand your awareness? What type of activities can you do to learn more, be more, do more, and actually experience those in your life? The next thing I'd like to talk about is our actual what I call our superpowers. People would call these our mental faculties. These are beyond the five senses, right? The five senses are taste, touch, hearing, sight, smell. Now, if you think about an instrument like a telescope or a thermometer, a deep-sea robotic submarine that goes way deep in the ocean that's unmanned and people send it down there, right? It goes into areas that we can't actually go into, but it's a device that allows us to sense and figure out how deep the ocean is, what the pressure is, what type of fish are down there. Same thing with the thermometer. It allows us to put the thermometer onto something and find out what the temperature is. Well, if you think about our bodies, the body operates the same way. They say we actually don't see images. They said that light comes into our eyes and the brain creates images. Now, that's another conversation that we can get into there, right? That we actually touch things and we feel certain things, but people have different levels of feeling. Also smell, right? A dog can smell way more than we can. Its range is way stronger than what a human being is. Or a dog's hearing as well has different ranges than we do. So when you start to think about the physical body, you could almost say that it's a high-tech instrument that we're in. It's so high-tech, we're actually connected to it. We're in it. And so those are the five senses. And most people are allowing their lives to be determined by only those senses. Those are valid, but that's just a small portion. Now, if we go into your superpowers or your mental faculties, we have reason. This is the ability to think, right? Thinking is our highest function. So we can observe what we are doing and then think of ideas of how we can do better. So you can actually think about yourself doing something, look at it, and say, oh, you know what? How could I do that better? You can actually do that all in your own mind. That's the ability to reason. Wow. I mean, you just think about it that way. Memory. We actually have perfect memories. People say there's no such thing as a bad memory. There's only weak memories and strong memories. You can learn how to get really good with your memories. I actually teach people how to get really strong with their memory through remembering their dreams. That's one of the ways that I work with many of my clients. You can remember your dreams, and it just increases the ability for you to remember things throughout the day. There's plenty of exercises and books on increasing your memory. Perception. Our point of view, right? The ability to see something through a certain lens. Imagine putting on a pair of glasses and looking at something. Sometimes I'll literally do that when I'm thinking about something. I'll say, okay, let me look at it with my glasses on, the way I think. I'm like, okay, that's the way I look at it. Then I take the glasses off and I say, let me look at it through the person I'm talking to and what they're going through and what their situation is. How are they looking at the situation? Okay. Just like I may look at certain situations and say, you know, me being a man, I may say, well, how would a woman look at this? Perception is powerful because it allows you to not only see how other people view situations, but you can also add empathy in there, right? Empathy is actually the ability to be able to understand another person's position. It's not sympathy. It doesn't mean you have to agree with what they're doing or how they're operating, but you can actually put yourselves in their shoes and say, well, you know, let me just look at it from their position. Perception is really powerful because it can allow you to create things that considers everyone. It can also allow you to operate in relationships really on a really powerful way, right? To really look at someone else's understanding of something, or even just ask questions to someone and say, well, you know, how do you see this? You know, a lot of times words have different meanings for people, or different pictures, as I would say. And to me, I say languages are programs. If you look at all the languages around the world, like English is actually kind of a hyphenated language. There's one word in English for something, and you go to Spanish, and there's seven words for the same item in Spanish. So some languages are much more complex. They cover many more situations. language is only a label that we've created. It's a program that we've created for things that we observe in the world, and then we say language back to each other so we can have an agreeing point of how we want to describe something. So I always say, if you're talking to someone and you say something to them, like, hey, do you want to be successful? And the person says yes, but your idea of success may be completely different than the other person's. If you say, well, hey, can you describe a picture or an idea or a situation in the future, you know, of what success would look like for you? Now they start to design a picture. And then you'll see, well, wait a minute, what I thought success was, I was focusing on money. This other person's completely talking about their relationship with their wife or their husband. Completely different things, right? So perception, very powerful. Imagination is the next one. Imagination, most people think about imagination creates fantasies. You start to think about Walt Disney and rainbows and stars and all these different things, right? But I tell people, imagination, we use that all the time. So I'll give you some examples of imagination. You're driving to work, and you look at your watch, and you're running late, and you need to be at work at 12, and it's already 11:55, and it takes you 20 minutes to get there from where you're at now. You start imagining what they're going to say when you come in late. You start imagining what may happen to you if you're late. Oh, I may lose my job, or I may lose some time, or whatever else. That is using your imagination. If you're going somewhere and you're fearing, I've even heard people say, hey, I'm going on a vacation, right? Person's all excited, and then they start thinking about all the things that could go wrong. That's using your imagination. And so what I always say to people is, take control of your imagination and use it in the way that serves you. Think of all the things that can go right. Think of all the things that you want to do. Start to design your ideal life, your ideal dreams. Put those together. And the last item is the wheel. And the reason I say the wheel, and I've already talked about intuition, which is another one, but the reason I say the wheel for last is because the wheel allows you to focus on any one of these items. So the wheel is what has you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to use my wheel to focus my imagination on positive things. I'm going to use my wheel to see the perception of another person versus just my own perception. I'm going to use my wheel to remember the person's name yesterday that I talked to. I'm going to use my wheel to think about how I can do better. So the wheel is a powerful piece. And these are what we call our mental faculties. These are items that we can use each day. These are very deep subjects and concepts, but I like to share some information today that you can take and start moving forward with right now. Now, the thing that we talked about earlier was intuition. That's the intuitive factor. That's also another one of your abilities. The intuition, I like to talk about it like, have you ever seen a butterfly flying in the air? It's very subtle and soft, like it moves. You know, it's very hard to physically catch it or bring it into a physical form. The intuition is something that's a light touch. It comes to you out of nowhere, right? You get this flash or this image or this idea. And the way you deal with intuition or these ideas, and I love the comment that's made in a chapter out of Think and Grow Rich in the chapter on persistence. Napoleon Hill in that book says, the time to nurture an idea is at its birth. Now, I've read that sentence for quite a few months, and it just really opened up to me just this week when I heard it, and I said, wow. And I was able to get a picture, like I was able to see a story, and so I'll share that with you to give you a deeper understanding of how I understood it. I was like, you know, when a baby's born, when a human baby is born, people don't. A baby's not born, and the mother and the father and the people in the hospital or wherever the child's being born, they don't put the baby down and say, yeah, we need to feed it. We'll come back to it in 4 or 5 days. I'll get to it later. Imagine that person did that with a baby. That baby wouldn't make it. So when I go back and look at that idea, the time to nurture an idea is at its birth. So your ideas and your dreams are like babies. When you get that idea, you got to pull that bottle out and start giving it some food right then, right? When you get that idea, just writing it down, that's you're nurturing it right then. Just write it down. And sometimes you'll be out, you know, with someone. You're like, hey, hold on a second. I got to stop and write this down. Do it. That could be the seed that's going to change your life, that's going to allow you to bring forth that grand idea that the whole world is looking for, that only you can bring forth. We're all unique beings here, and you have ideas that no one else will come up with. So nurture your ideas. The last thing I'm going to go through now is what I'm calling the foundation steps. And there's a lot of other areas that I work with clients. We have longer programs that we go through. But these three areas, if you really take anything away today, if you pull these in, you can really go forward in your life immediately today and start making changes. The first item is to define a definite goal, to connect with your actual dream. What is it that you want to achieve? And I usually tell people, you know, go big. Go for a what we call a C goal, right? Nothing that you've ever been able to do before, and you also have no idea how you're going to do it. So, like, you heard Dwight talk about earlier in the show that I have a goal of helping 1 billion people do what they love to do. That is a huge goal for me, and I came up with it last year. And how am I going to do that? I have no idea all the steps that's going to take for that to come about. But I just keep my mind focused on that. And I take it one step at a time, one person at a time. And then you start to think, well, is it possible? Yes, it's possible. Because there's over 7 billion, almost 8 billion people in the world. We have internet. I could write books. I could record items, right? I mean, me working with someone one-on-one, 1 billion people, that's probably not going to happen. But I have so many other things that I can create that will reach people that may help them be able to do what they love to do. And with the expansion of technology, who knows what's possible in the next few years, right? So these are ways that you can look at your big goals and dreams, like put them on the mantle, you know, write them up. You don't have to share these with everybody. You share these with people who support you. But this is the powerful thing to really get set. So if you want to focus the majority of your time on anything, it's getting clear on what is your next goal or dream. Don't worry about if it seems too big, and don't worry about if it seems too small. Just start somewhere, right? It will expand. It will change. Believe me. The next thing, once you have that goal, right, because Dwight asked that question earlier, why is a goal important? Once you have your goal, now you have a map. You know where you are, so you can take assessment of where you are, and you know where you want to go, right? If you want to buy a new home and your credit's not in great shape, you start taking steps to improve your credit if you're going to purchase and try to get a mortgage for a home, especially here in the United States. If you're going to buy a home with cash, now you know, oh, well, I don't have enough money yet. I'm going to save money. So now you have a pathway. So now you know what actions to take. So now we move into what's called the knowing-doing gap. You know what to do. Now you have to actually go and do those things. This is what trips up most people, right? People buy vitamins. They don't take the vitamins. People buy workout equipment. The workout equipment sits in the corner of the home. They actually don't use it. They know what to do. They just don't use it, right? You have a gym membership. Start of the year, people go, and then they stop going. That's the knowing-doing gap. That's where the majority of people fall off or get stuck, and that's where persistence comes into play. So I'm going to read off a few things here around persistence. First of all, persistence is the number one item that you can find for any person that you look up to in terms of being successful in the history of the world. You can look at every realm, from business to sports to political action to families, technology advances. Persistence was involved all throughout. People ran into challenges. They had failures. They had people telling them no, they couldn't do it. They had people saying they were crazy. They had their own physical challenges, health issues, lack of money, all types of things. But they stayed persistent no matter what. If you do something every day, I was talking to a friend yesterday. I said, if you do something for 1 hour a day, every day for a full year, you have now put yourself in the top 2 to 1% of people in the world. Most people do not do that. There's successful people that don't even do that, right? They may just have these spurts where they just go really hard and they're really good at something. But if you're able to be committed and persistent with something every day, the quantum leaps and ability for you to move forward in the future is just going to expand to a whole nother level, right? And this can be applied to anything. So I like to say the spasmodic, this is from the persistence chapter in the Think and Grow Rich, spasmodic or occasional effort to apply the rules will not work, right? Just kind of dabbing, just kind of doing it sometimes, not doing it, you know, I'll do it tomorrow, and then, oh, I didn't do it yesterday, and oh, you know, yeah, sometimes I do it. If you're a weak end of persistence, get yourself an accountability partner. Join a mastermind group. Get yourself a coach. I work with people, but I'm not the only coach out there. I'm not the only show in town, right? There's tons of great coaches, people you can work with, organizations, your own family. You can ask someone to hold you accountable. You can say, hey, this is something I want to do every day. Check in with me. Find a way to set up a game for yourself where you can win. Lack of persistence is common. So if you want to be different, if you want to be an exceptional person, be persistent, because it's not a common thing. This is another idea from this chapter that I love to hear and talk about, is poverty is attracted to the one whose mind is favorable to it, as money is attracted to him or her whose mind has been deliberately prepared to attract it, and through the same laws. Poverty consciousness will voluntarily seize the mind which is not occupied with money consciousness. A poverty consciousness develops without conscious application of habits favorable to it. The money consciousness must be created to order unless one is born with such a consciousness. So whenever I read that, it's so powerful because it reminds me that if I just sit back and kind of wait, you know, a lot of us can I've done that in my life, right? Oh, I'm just going to wait and see what happens. Naturally, that poverty consciousness will just creep in. Like, it's a natural state in the way that the world is set up. There's some things in the world that are actually set up to keep you in poverty, if you look at the way things are configured. But if you make a little effort and think about where you want to go and how you want to live and the type of things you would like to receive, including money, you can start to develop that consciousness through the application of persistence. Persistence also provides you insurance against failure. So we hear tons of companies that are selling us insurance, you know, life insurance, health insurance. You can actually create your own insurance by being persistent. The habit of persistence will insure you against failure. I always say to everyone I speak to, do what is uncomfortable when it is comfortable. Now, what does that mean? That means start eating the right foods before a doctor tells you you have to eat the right foods. That means start saving money when you have extra money, not when you're low on money and you say, oh, I need to save money. You always hear people say that. Oh, I need to save money. Why? Because I'm short this month. Well, the time to save money is when you had extra money. That's when it was comfortable. Right? The time to work out is when you actually still feel good now and before you actually get into a state where someone tells you, hey, you need to change your life, change your diet, and start working out because you're unhealthy. If you do the uncomfortable things when it's comfortable, things are going to be easy going forward. So I always say, if something looks really hard or tough, you go track it down. You go find it. You start looking for it. You start looking for the challenges before they come find you. That's my approach there. Use your will on your own volition. This is what qualifies you as a leader. You have to learn to lead yourself to be considered a leader. Right? This persistence piece, and this goes back to one of our mental faculties, the will. Right? Leaders learn to lead themselves. And again, I know at the start of the show, I talked about my abilities or how much potential do I think I'm expressing. All these things that I'm talking about, I'm giving myself the class right now. Like, every one of these areas I can continually keep improving on. I can keep getting better at being persistent. I can keep getting better at telling myself I'm going to do something and actually doing it. And leaders make the people around them better. Leaders make other people feel good about themselves. That's a true leader. So I know we're starting to come to a close here, and there's much more I could have shared and gone into, and that's a good point for me to stop, right? I feel like I have more to give, and we can always come back on a future show and have another masterclass. I think we could have probably a couple of masterclasses on the subject of persistence. But it's really important for me to share these things and be able to share this out across the globe, because I know this show reaches out globally. And if you really take a lot of these lessons and things that I've shared from my own personal experience and some of these instructions and different viewpoints, you can start to make a change in your own life, and you can do it one step at a time, right? You don't have to try to do 5 or 6 new things today. I just focus on one thing, and then I start to build that in as a new habit or something new that I want to add in my life, and eventually that becomes the way that I am, right, the way that I operate, as earlier when you heard me talk about some of the affirmations I use. Those are just there because I've said them so much. So the mind a lot of times tries to complicate things, but the heart and our intuition and who we truly are is really simple. It's really all about grace, making things easy. Abundance is about receiving and giving. And a lot of these things are right here for us and available. And if we just let go of some of our blocks and our own limitations, we can actually access our dreams and be able to teach other people how to do the same. So thank you again for allowing me to be on the show. Please reach out to me if you'd like to speak to me personally. You can reach out to me at Jaron, J-A-R-O-N, at dreampoweracademy.com. You can send me an email, contact me. I collaborate with a lot of different individuals. We also have coaching programs and courses. I do one-on-one coaching, and I have group programs as well. You can also reach me at my website, www.dreampoweracademy.com, and there it will send you to a calendar app that allows you to schedule a 45-minute dream session. These dream sessions are available to you as a listener at no cost. This allows us to sit down, really dig in to what it is you really want to do in your life, and you come out of that session with a dream map. So you will have a map of where you're going. You will also understand more about yourself. You will be able to identify any challenges or limitations, and we do that through conscious language, through body language. And I can even talk to you about your own personal dreams. So I have many different ways to connect with items that may be slowing you down or making you feel stuck. And then from there, you'll have a clear direction of where you want to go in the future and be able to take action that day. So if you have any interest of connecting with myself or even Dwight, please feel free to reach out to us. And thanks again for allowing me to come here. Have a blessed day. And remember your dreams, live your dreams, love your dreams. Thank you.